Bouchard Bitch, The Phil Hendry Show.
And I want to paint a picture for you, Jane, because alas, there isn't video of this, but within the last hour...
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants.
I think...
This, too, is false.
Of the
reforms...
intensely demonstrated animosity...
Anti-abortion activist, a 63-year-old Alaska man...
Everybody's a separate IED attack, and they're definitely taking it.
Boy, what a headache.
Wow, what happened there, man? That was a...
Yeah, that's Potpourri of Carter.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. Not conservative or liberal because, well, I mean, aren't you embarrassed to be called calling yourself a liberal or conservative? Doesn't that embarrass you right down to your shoes, man? I mean, come on. I don't think there's anybody listening to the show that would actually say out loud, oh, I'm a conservative, because to say that, to say you're either a conservative or a liberal is to immediately identify yourself as someone that doesn't understand anything about how this country is currently working or not working. If you call yourself a conservative or a liberal, you immediately identify yourself as somebody who does not understand any longer what's happening in the country, what's slowing the country down, and what can be done to speed the country up. Okay? That's the philosophy of the Phil Hendry Show, or as we like to say, when the stars come out, the bull crap ends, okay? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're going to be talking about Acorn, and I know that for some, maybe this story is beginning to wear a little thin, although I don't think for most. I think the story is interesting. It has to do, this also has to do with race. It also has to do with public trust. It also has to do with the media war that's currently going on. A lot of stuff going on. You cannot figure this stuff out by simply saying, well, it's the liberals that did it, it's the conservatives that did it. If you do, you are as simple-minded as the person who says, we will never be able to land on the moon because it's made out of green cheese. How do you know? Because that's what it looks like from here. When you look at the Acorn story, this is a beautiful thing. I mean, not really, but it's beautiful from the standpoint that there's a racial component. We have an organization that is populated in terms of employees by a great many African Americans, some of whom have accused this Sting filmmaker of racism or those that have sponsored him. There are those that want the story to get back on what they think is the essential point, that Acorn is corrupt. There are some who want to get to the essential point, which they say is that the right-wing smear machine is at work. And sometimes all you have to do, folks, is take a look at something and call it. Take a look at something and call it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's not that easy.
It's totally easy, bud.
How you feel it?
Here it is. What's going on? Acorn sucks. They got some people that are giving out lousy information. I don't know if it's illegal necessarily, but they got some real slimy employees, don't they? Yes, they do. What else? Take a look at the conservative smear machine that they say exists. Is it a smear machine? There is a completely obvious attempt on the part of the conservative media, if you will, very obvious attempt on the part of the conservative media to use Acorn to impugn Obama. That too is extreme, and to that extent, it is a smear. It's not a smear to say that Acorn is doing things in an illegal fashion. This has been determined. Some people in this organization have been arrested. Arrested. So let me just say this, that they're under suspicion of having broken the law. Is the so-called conservative media smearing Acorn? No. I think the smear comes in when they try to tie Obama, and when they try to tie Obama, understand, folks, I get it about how Obama at one time was raising money for them. You can look at the facts as the facts exist. You can go back and take a look at the accounts of Obama's relationship with them. This has nothing whatsoever to do with Obama heading up Acorn, being a part of the machinery of the organization, and directly connected with all of these all of these nefarious operations that Acorn seems to be involved in. At one time, as a community organizer, he had a connection with Acorn. This doesn't mean that Obama is infected with Acorn's illegal activities. Any human being who wants to look at the facts on the face understands that that's the truth. Now, if you want to fool yourself and continue to, as I like to say, suck at the hooter of Fox News or CNN, because there's just not enough hours in the day to actually think for yourself, well, be my guest. But sooner or later, when we do that, we wind up looking like the wrong end of a horse, man, backing out of the stable. We don't look too good, and we don't smell too good either. So what did Acorn do? They're doing crap can stuff. It's no good. What about this guy that's stinging Acorn? All right, we found out last night that this is protected. The rebroadcast of these tapes is protected under the First Amendment, but this guy is in violation of at least the state laws of Maryland. All right, so fine. Acorn, are they coming clean? No, they're not. Was Alberto Gonzalez and the attorney debacle at the Justice Department in the Bush administration unfairly accused and tarred and feathered and slandered for a great many months because he decided to fire a couple of attorneys that didn't want to look at Acorn? Is or was this man deserving of an apology? In my opinion, absolutely yes. Without question. And it isn't going to happen. He ain't holding his breath because as prideful and ultimately ignorant as conservatives are, progressives equal them in every category when it comes to that. Prideful and ignorant. I wouldn't be caught dead hanging out with either group. Because you want to know why? Because I love my country. That's why. Acorn is defending an employee after she was caught in an undercover sting video. But the defenses offered by the group don't match up. Now, this is a story that was written by our show producer, Jason Rantz, with the San Bernardino Sun as a primary source. San Bernardino, California is where all this stuff took place. So the defenses offered by the group don't match up. In the video, which was taped on August 17th, Acorn employee Tressa Kalki says she has previously run her own escort service. In an effort to defend Kalki, Acorn office supervisor Christina Spock told reporters that Kalki pretended to cooperate with undercover filmmaker James O'Keefe because she feared for her safety, according to the San Bernardino Sun. She was in an office all by herself. She felt unsafe in their company. Does that sound like a manufactured defense? To me, it does, but Spock, who identified herself as Kalki's supervisor, said Kalki lied to the undercover bloggers because she was afraid and wanted to come across as a strong individual. It was a defense mechanism. All right, now that's the official word coming from San Bernardino. However, this is what we mean by conflicting reports. So Kalki and Spock got together. I tell you what, once you say that I was afraid, exactly, say that, and then I'll go out, I'll pitch it. Oh, great, okay, great. However, they didn't get it tied in with the website because a press release on the Acorn website paints a drastically different picture. According to the press release, when the actors approached Ms. Kalki with their provocative costuming and outlandish scenario, she could not take them seriously. So she met their outrageousness with her own personal style of outrageousness. She matched their false scenario with her own false scenario. Now, this kind of goes along with something that we mentioned on the show the other night, which was how do we know that they aren't going to claim that this was just all a big theatrical or urban guerrilla-style theatrical presentation that maybe this guy Briggs or Bridges or whatever the hell his name is, I won't remember this guy past next week. That's the sad part. He went out and put his ass on, oh, it's O'Keefe, see? I really got his name down.
Who's Bridges? Todd Bridges?
Yeah, that's right, bud. Todd Bridges went in there with a camera. Wow.
Man, you're an idiot.
No.
Anyway, the press release further quotes Kalki saying, they, the actors, were not believable. Somewhat entertaining, but they weren't even good actors. I didn't know what to make of them. They were clearly playing with me. I decided to shock them as much as they were shocking me, like Stephen Colbert does, saying the most outrageous things with a straight face. But the press release does not once mention any claim that Kalki felt unsafe in their company, the claim made by Kalki's supervisor. Which defense is true? It would appear that at least in part the press release is more accurate. In the video, Kalki alleges to have shot and killed her abusive husband. However, a San Bernardino police report filed yesterday says that the claim appears to be false. This does suggest Kalki lied about the story to the pimp, though it does not imply the press release is wholly accurate in why she lied about the story. So she's lying about her days as a pimp, or whatever the hell it was that she was. I guess her husband was a pimp. That didn't happen. She was trying to come across as cool, but was she frightened, or was she playing with them? And frankly, is any of this going to help Acorn? The answer is no, it isn't going to help Acorn. Acorn will not exist as the organization it is today 1 year from now. Mark my words, Acorn will not exist as the organization it is today. They may change their name. They may keep the name. I think a whole lot of people are going away. And that may include this Bertha, whatever the hell her name is, or not, depending upon how deep the roots are sunk at that organization. She's been there for 20 years. But Acorn is going to be a wildly different organization 1 year from today, because at the end of the day, and I think Acorn knows this, they have had far too many screw-ups, caught on tape or not caught on tape, far too many missteps having to do with the electoral process of this country, whether they're not registering people right, or whether they don't get the cards counted right, or whether they have enough people in the office, or whether they got, you know, she's afraid, or she isn't afraid, or she shot her pimp husband, or she didn't. They got a whole lot of loose cannons around there, man. And I guarantee you, 12 months from today, you won't recognize this organization. It'll be a whole new cast of characters, if they in fact exist at all. Acorn is not going to win this. Now, Acorn will sway some people. Acorn will make an argument aggressively. Acorn, and I'd love to be able to defend Acorn, because I said to a caller the other night on the air, I said, you know what? For people like me who would love to support what they do, they make me look like a jackass. I want to help people get into homes. I want to help people find a low-cost loan. I want to help people get registered to vote. But guys like this, these nefarious, quasi-criminal individuals comprising this organization, they make me want to turn around and walk the other way in the street, okay?
On account of they're black.
Yeah, because they're black. Thank you, bud.
You're welcome.
All right, boy, are you stupid.
No, he wasn't talking about black.
Never mind. 877-876-PHIL. Your call's at 877-876-PHIL, plus the Acorn CEO, Bertha Lewis, goes on the record and talks. She goes on the defensive against conservative critics and other news, too, not relative to Acorn at all, man. We'll get to that. Including a liberal group that wants to drop wants CNN to drop Lou Dobbs. Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I'll tell you, tomorrow we'll debut finally, and I promised this for so long, I'm so happy. Tomorrow we will debut finally video on demand. Tonight's show that is being videoed and is being streamed live right now on our website. So if you're on our website, philhendryshow.com, and you are a Backstage Pass subscriber, you can see our video. You can see our show right now. I'm looking at the camera right now. I'm flipping people off. I've got my pants off. It's great.
No, you don't.
Will you shut up, man? They don't know that if they're not watching it.
Oh. Hey, man, you don't understand theater like a theater, you know, theater of the mind and everything.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, you guys have that discussion someplace else, okay?
All right.
In any event, you can take a look at our website and see live streaming video. Well, tomorrow it'll be available on demand as well, and we will archive 1 week at a time. So you can go every day and take a look at our video on demand, our audio on demand, our audio archives that are downloadable, not just this radio show, but going back 20 years of Phil Hendry Show material. It's all there, including a lot of video clips from TV pilots we've done and other TV appearances that we've done. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. It's a Backstage Pass for $6.95 a month, man. $6.95 a month, and you've got a lot of stuff. I mean, a whole lot of material to go through. And for $6.95 a month, I don't know what that comes out to a day.
Let me do the math.
Okay, 30 into 695.
Like 2 cents or something.
Yeah, okay. Give me that, will you? I'll do it later. Anyway, $6.95 a month. Go to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And we thank you. All right, so we're still, I think, talking about Acorn, which is fine. But, you know, there's the Jimmy Carter racism comment. And it all seems like it's race, and it all seems like it's Obama, and it all seems like it's black versus white. And as I said, you know, racism is just a part of it. I think what's going on is this discomfort or this uncomfort, this lack of comfort between the races, you know. Sooner or later, we got to stop with this whole racism thing because it's just pissing people off. It isn't getting anybody any closer to figuring things out, right? You're a racist. No, I'm not a racist. You don't even understand what a racist is. Yeah, I do. It's if you don't like a guy who comes from Spain. No, that's not what it is. And by the way, folks, guys like O'Reilly and our good friend Obersturmfuhrer over there on MSNBC, they don't help by disseminating the stupidest stuff. Because the media war, like I was telling you, is further creating the confusion. Right now, CNN is fighting to survive. Fox is fighting to survive. NBC is fighting to survive. CBS is fighting to survive. ABC, the New York Times, all of these large media outlets are fighting to survive. Now, what do you think when they're fighting to survive, fighting to hold on to jobs, fighting to maintain a retirement pool, fighting to maintain earnings for their stockholders? Do you think it matters to them whether they print or broadcast something that's true or accurate? Think about it. You think Fox is going to tell you the truth all the time? If telling a lie or if shaping the message more to their liking is going to get more viewers and get more advertisers as a result, do you think it matters to them? Don't be a child. And say to me, oh, Phil, I never miss the Obeka show or whatever the hell. I never miss. Fine, don't miss it. Watch it all the time. But understand what you're watching. Do you think that CNN, with all of that horse dung about being a journalistic effort, the only really serious news gathering broadcast channel on television, do you think that CNN wasn't hoping for a scoop on that Coast Guard story by broadcasting that transmission by that radio traffic between the Coast Guard cutter, the Coast Guard vessels, and saying that this might be a 9/11 incident? Don't you think that CNN was hoping and praying that that was an event that they could scoop and get all kinds of big-time play with? And so they went ahead and they ran with it without checking out whether or not it was, in point of fact, a terrorist attack. They went ahead and ran with it without finding out whether the source of that communication was valid or not as a terrorist source. You think that CNN did their job as professionals? The answer is no. Did they know it? Yes. And why did they do it? Because they want you to watch. You're getting messed with, people. You want to sit there and trust that those guys are telling you the truth? I said it before, I'll say it again. It is 100 times more likely that you're lied to on a regular basis by CNN and Fox than by any member of Congress. You don't have to believe me, but you remember where you heard it. Just remember where you heard it, because it happens to be a fact. It is 100 times more likely that they're lying to you than the Congress of the United States. They don't have a vested interest in telling the truth. They only have a vested interest in attracting viewers. Now, that would be amusing were it not for the fact that our country is right up against it these days. We have serious issues that we are trying to discuss. We have a couple of wars. We have the possibility of a revamping of our health care. We have still a very shaky private sector in terms of the economy. We have still an immigration situation. We've got a number of challenges. We've met them. We've conquered them before. But wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to also deal with people standing there with their lips to your ears, lying to you, just so you'll listen to them before you listen to the guy who's in your other ear? You're going to do yourself a big favor if you take what I'm saying to the bank, because at the end of the day, you'll know if you're really interested in being informed. I mean, really interested, and you just don't want to be in some Tea Party Express because, you know, you're bringing the covered dish and somebody else has a marvelous bundt cake, and it's just going to be all so fantastic with all those three-pointed hats. I mean, if that's what it is, and you don't want, you know, if this is Alice in Wonderland, well, great. But you know what? You're doing the country a disservice. You're doing yourself a disservice. And what the hell are you doing? Are you lonely? God almighty, join Facebook or something, man. There's far more interesting people there than these nuts that are hanging around that Tea Party thing. And those people are the most easily manipulated I've ever seen. I'm going to say it again. The people of the Tea Party Express are, I feel sorry for them more than anybody else, because they're getting it, they're getting fed this crap left, right, and center, and they're believing it. All right, we'll be back. 877-876. Your phone call's coming up. There's a hole in the ozone layer. I think that's fantastic. It's getting smaller. Now that, I'm not too keen on. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 on the West Coast, 4 on the East Coast. This is now your nighttime radio home right here. You want to know why? Because A, we're very personable, we're amusing, but we know where to stop the humor and start the serious stuff. You know, we don't mix and match. I'm not a member of any political party. I'm not going to get out there with three-cornered hat with a straw hat and say that I'm a Tea Party guy. I'm not going to walk down the street with a picture of George Bush as Hitler. I'm not walking down the street with a picture of Barack Obama as Hitler. I love my country. I want my presidents, whether it's Bush or Obama, to do well. And I'm not. It's not one big daisy chain that I'm a part of here, okay? And sometimes I wonder whether these people, and I don't care who they are, it could be MoveOn.org and Coast, or it could be the Tax Tea Party bastards, I wonder seriously whether they care whether this country lives or dies. I seriously wonder. They're going to stand there and dig their heels in, and they're going to be right, and even if they're wrong, they're going to be right, and even if it's bad for the country, they're going to be right. And they're so right that they're right, and they're so sure that they're sure, and they're so wrong that they're wrong, you know, that even if Obama were to be president or Bush, and they did stuff that really down the road was going to help the country, they'd say that it was wrong. I'll give an example here. We've got a, and then we'll get to our phone calls very quickly. Here's a headline: ozone hole smaller in 2009 than 2008. Whatever. Does that mean global warming doesn't exist? I don't know. The ozone hole, maybe it has nothing to do with global warming. But I'm going to tell you this, because I remember when the ozone hole in the atmosphere, the ozone hole, that's that the ozone, the hole in the ozone layer, was the fact that it was getting, oh my God, that was the worst thing that was going on. Then we found out, now wait a minute, it's global warming. In 10 years, because I've listened to the debate, and I feel that you and I have been treated with utmost disrespect by the proponents involved, the utmost disrespect. They haven't even slowed down long enough to tell, no, I'm sorry, I didn't see your movie, Vice President Gore. I apologize, sir, but one would think there'd be more than just you and Leonardo DiCaprio doing movies. I got a great idea, man. How about a series of town halls on bloody global warming? How about you debating people? That would be nice, but, you know, you won't deign to do that because you don't think we're worthy. And the same thing with a lot of these opponents, I should say. So I have come to this conclusion because I've listened and I have truly, with an open mind, to the facts relative to man-made or not man-made global warming. I believe in 10 years, you're going to see this story on a news site someplace. Global warming, it now appears, overstated. Am I willing to bet the farm? Let me tell you this, it's better than even money. Better than even money that you will see in 10 years, global warming now appears to have been overstated by individuals involved. Doctors at the such-and-such today said in a seminar that the destructive or nefarious or, you know, the blackguard, that bastards that promoted global warming, now it appears they were wrong. And so thank you very much. And now here's the weather. 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-PHIL. And again, go over to our website, take a look at our live streaming video each and every night. Let's go over to Joe in Nashville. Joe, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. How you doing tonight?
Hi, Phil. I'm doing great. Listen, let me preface my remarks by telling you that I listen to you every chance I get. I think I respect you. I think that you're well-informed, you know, about, and I think you're sincere. Having said that, I've been an entertainer around this country for 40 years. I've traveled everywhere. And so my only impetus was music. I didn't get involved in the politics, didn't get involved in the race, until a few years back when I started seeing what was going on around me. Raised in New York City, spent half of my life in Harlem, New York, training with people in that community. I told you that because I don't want to come across as in any way being disrespectful or bigoted or as you said, racist. However, what I've seen happen in this country, especially in the black population, they've gone totally overboard. They're the ones that have become racist. Everything is black. Black this, black that. Black magazines, you know, Miss Black America, you name it. And they've got some black organization that if it was a white organization doing it, they would be yelling up and down as racist. And that part of it has really turned me off. I am a talk show junkie. I listen to everybody. But I everything with a grain of salt, you included. As far as Obama's concerned, I hate him. I think that he is the...
Oh, let's get to the point then. Let's get to the point. Forget about everything's black this, black that. Because I could tell you, I took a drive today. I went and got groceries, got coffee. I went and went over to an auto parts store. I didn't see one black person.
Right.
Because where I live, California, we ain't got any black folks. The black folks live at a different beach than this one, right? There's a few, but, you know, I mean, I can go for miles without seeing black people. When you say everything's black, are you talking about what's on TV and in magazines?
You know, I talk about what I see every day in the Congress, people around me, people on
TV. You're talking about television. Let's talk about your main consideration, though. You hate Obama. Why?
Well, there's a long list of reasons. For one thing, I think the man is a nemesis.
Well, I got an idea. Let's take one of your reasons and let's break it down. Can we do that?
Sure.
Is that fair? All right, go ahead.
I think it's fair, but the one thing that I believe is that he's trying to bring socialism to a country that doesn't want it. And I believe he's a liar.
All right, let's stop right there. Because okay. Joe, my brother, we hear this word, but we don't know what it is. We hear this word, and we don't recognize it when we see it. We just know that it has something to do with commies, and we don't like commies. All right, no. Socialism.
Is that he's trying to take money from the wealthy, from people who have earned it, and giving it to people who have not earned it, but who are going
to... Now, I want to tell you something, and you're going to have to just listen to me for 30 seconds, because this is very important. It has to do with economics, and it has to do with the circulation of money. You heard him say that would be fair. He himself admitted it was probably a bad choice of words. What we're talking about is that there is, like the ballast on a ship being too heavy on one side, it threatens to capsize the boat. Money operates the same way in a society. When you try to spread the stress and the strain of lifting up a country out of an emergency situation, you try to balance it so that one area doesn't crack and fall apart. For an example, do we keep a million men from hitting the bricks as unemployed people? Is this a smart thing to do? Well, I suppose there are questions and answers that can be debated. But the decision was made. It's better to keep those guys working. Otherwise, there are other social issues we have to deal with, from unemployment, frankly, to increased police presence, because you know what unemployment does, all right? So what does that mean? In order to keep those men employed, we have to take the strain off of a certain sector, which is that manufacturing sector in Detroit, and we have to shift it a little bit over to the taxpayer, the federal government. The decision was made as a bipartisan decision. It was certainly something that I feel very safe in saying Bush might even approve of as a Republican president, because we know what he did with the bank. But what you hear, you don't see the economics. What you hear is it's socialism because he's taking from the rich and giving to the poor. I say to you, if you look at it scientifically, because that's the only way to look at it, we are trying to take the strain and literally the cracking and the breaking tension from one area of our economy and shifting it so we give it a little room to breathe. Now, socialism, by Joe, is something that is a philosophy that a country embraces over time. Because America goes down a certain route, which means more federal presence, doesn't mean we're becoming a socialized country. We've had federal presidents who were Republicans who believed in exerting federal power. We had the Depression. You know that story. We've had world wars. You know that story. We've had different presidents do different things. I can argue to you that Ronald Reagan, in his own way, was a highly federal president because he decided to invest America's money in defense. He ran up deficits. He ran up enormous deficits. By the end of Reagan's term, we had Ross Perot saying that the country was close to bankruptcy. By the end of George Bush's first term, Ross Perot was running for president. That's how urgent the thing was. Do we blame Ronald Reagan? What we say is That was then. That was what was necessary. It seems to have worked out. Ronald Reagan is hailed as one of our great presidents. President Obama is reacting pragmatically the same way our good presidents do. He's looking at what needs to be done because we've got an emergency. But you say this is socialism and that he is simply trying to redistribute wealth. I'm telling you, you're being lied to. And you're not being allowed to look at this as a science and the survival of a country. It's being politicized. You know what that word means? It means let's take the truth out of it and let's just spin it the way we want to spin it. All right, Joe, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Excuse me, but I just lost my voice there. Let's go over here to our caller in Jackson, Mississippi. Michael, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on?
All right. How you doing? Raining down here.
But oh, that's a drag. Yeah, okay.
But I was just calling about, I know we were talking about, you know, on the acorn thing a while ago, and I know, uh-huh. I don't know if you threw that conversation, but I, when I called earlier, but my thing is that you know, I don't even know why an organization like Acorn, why tax dollars went to something like that in the first place. I don't, you know, I don't care if it's liberal or conservative. You know, we the taxpayers should not be subsidizing any group that is 100% just a voter base for one group. Now, Acorn, I mean, you know, let's got to admit, it's 100% nothing but Democrats. That's their farm team. I mean, that's all it is. And we're pumping millions of dollars. That's just
well, I mean, it's a tricky question, Michael, because what Acorn initially was attempting to do was to franchise as opposed to disenfranchise, to make a part of the franchise voters who had not been. Many of them are people who are poor, live in areas that are, you know, they're black neighborhoods, Hispanic neighborhoods, areas where people have traditionally not turned out to vote. Yeah, you're right. It's worked out in favor of the Democrats. I don't know how many of those people that Acorn registered actually got to the polls and voted. I don't know how many of those people ever got a real voter registration card, because the way they do business, as you know, is really weird. If we got a whole bunch of poor people, and they all happen to be Democrats, but we want people to vote, I don't know what to say, you know. I mean, do we encourage people to vote or not?
Oh, absolutely we encourage them to vote. But, I mean, you know, I mean, when this kind of organization, I mean, you know, it's not like that just, you know, I don't think it just tilted one way just down the course. I mean, it's like the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I mean, that was 100% Democrat liberal people behind that, because they were basically trying to socialize the housing industry. You know, and that's what caused this collapse, you know, because they were...
No, you see, you're using that word again. You're using that... There you go, using that word again. They're trying to socialize the housing industry. No, they weren't. No. Just back off of the... You're married to that word because it's an easy word, but you're misusing it. The attempt, however stupid, however wrong-headed, however, you know, however badly maneuvered, was to get people into houses. That's the great American dream. And we felt that if people could own their own home, they would have a new pride of ownership and perhaps a new stake in citizenship. But it was done poorly. It was done too quickly. People were not qualified properly. All of the mistakes that were made as the result of incompetent imbeciles, not people that wanted to spread socialism across the land. What we were trying to do is empower people. So maybe with more homeowners, we have more permanence. With more permanence, we have richer neighborhoods. With a richer neighborhood, we have better schools. We have more children that are properly educated. We have pride of ownership, pride of neighborhood. These are not bad things. That is not socializing the housing industry.
No, that's not bad things, but, I mean, they were trying to sign up anybody. I mean, you know, that absolutely...
And let me ask you a question, Michael. You know who else was doing that besides these clowns that were trying to get more minority applicants? You know who else was doing it? Who? You heard of Countrywide, right? You heard of Countrywide, right? You know what Countrywide is?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's a private company. Yeah. It's a private company. It's not federal.
Right.
So what were they doing? Are they trying to socialize? Oh, let me tell you what they were doing. They're trying to make money. They're trying to get as many people on the dotted line as they can. They're trying to get their commission. They're trying to get out the door on Friday and get to the golf links. That's what they're trying to do. And the same thing with B of A, and the same thing with WAMU, and the same thing with all the rest of these guys. Now, what do you say about the overwhelming majority of these institutions that were private doing the same thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean,
Is that Obama trying to socialize things?
but they weren't in the same league as what Freddie Mac and those.
Oh, the hell they weren't, man! The money they got, they could buy and sell Freddie May and Fernie Mac or whatever the hell their names are. They could buy and sell their asses. We're talking about banks that do business around the world. We're talking about banks that are doing business with governments.
It's a domino.
The fact is, Michael, the fact is they're doing things the exact same way as Freddie Mae or Fannie Mae or whatever the hell these guys are called. I'm so tired of hearing about them. They're doing business the same way, and you can bet your money those guys aren't looking to socialize America's political system. They're trying to make dollars.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
But why they get – thank you for your call. Why those guys get a pass, I don't understand. Why conservatives say Obama's trying to take over the auto industry instead of taking a look at this thing, as I have, and I look at the auto industry and I look at these fools and I say, these guys, you know, they shouldn't be running a crap game. They shouldn't be running a lemonade stand. Well, you know, the government has done, really? Let's talk about that. What has the government done? Tell me. Did the government force them to make SUVs during a time that gasoline was going past $3 a gallon? Did the government force them to make SUVs when gasoline was still $2 a gallon? Well, it made sense to make SUVs then, Phil. Did it really? Yes, of course. Gasoline was cheap. Well, one hell of a fine businessman you'd make, because if I'd been at GM at that time and I took a look at the situation in the Middle East and I saw American soldiers dying in Iraq and Afghanistan because America has to insert itself militarily and politically into a region of the world that has that resource. Otherwise, we're off the trough, man. And I'm an executive in Detroit, and I'm still making decisions based on consumer demand that says SUVs and Hummers are the right thing to do, even if the very real possibility of gasoline going above $3, $4 a gallon is right on the horizon. And you're telling me the government's making me do that. I'm telling you something that nobody wants to hear. I'm telling you, and I'll say it again, and I singled out Rick Wagner before anybody else did. He finally got his ass fired. He's an example of the type of executive that has just about ruined American business. Short-sighted. He's not creative at all. He doesn't know what the consumer wants. He put the brakes on Saturn. He put the brakes on the EV. He's a quarter-to-quarter, year-to-year, dividend-watching schmuck. And that's what's running American business today. And you're telling me the government is the reason. I don't like government. What I like is excellence. I like professionalism. I like guys that kick ass. I like guys that get the job done. I want to see guys get in and get the job done, right, you know? And I don't want to hear anybody whining and crying and telling me why he couldn't do the job because, you know, the government, let me tell you something, Rick, you go back and you count your beans, man. You started as an accountant, you go back and be an accountant again. That's a good job for you. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show, and a judge tosses the Obama birther lawsuit. That coming up. Welcome back to our show, and don't forget, along with all the other places that you can find us as we are all through the internet now. We've infected the internet. We're like we're a good virus. We're everywhere. The Phil Hendry Show. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on
we're on Faces.
Oh, that's so funny,
man! You can get him fired for that. What I says, we're on.
Don't say it again, okay, bud? You jackass! Every time you open your mouth and say something like that, you put me at risk of losing my license. We're on Facebook, all right?
All right.
And every time that I have to take a swing at you, man, I always bust the elastic band on my... Jeez. Can we get some equipment? Yes, all right. 877-876-PHIL is our number here. And while we have this time together, I want to tell you about the latest in the world of birthers. here's something else that you need to understand. I don't know how to say this. If there's enough people interested in something, there is always going to be someone taking up the torch and running with it. And why is that? Because if there's enough people interested in something, there is enough of a consumer base being created to sell something. And such is the case with 9/11 Truth, such is the case with the Kennedy assassination, and now we have the birther controversy. So who is Orly Tates? She's an attorney. Why does she keep popping up with asinine, utterly asinine arguments and motions and all of these other people? Why? About Obama's birth. Is it because she really believes this? No. She has identified a consumer base from which she can extract money to make a pretty healthy living. The same with Alex Jones. The same with anybody that puts out a videotape or gets on a TV and does an interview or has a book or maybe he's got a screenplay. We'll talk a little bit more about this next hour. Also, Lou Dobbs, boy, he's in trouble, man. Liberals don't dig his ass. They want CNN to fire him. Don't worry about it, Lou. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I'll make some calls, man.